Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another team preview here on South Harmon. I am at Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL, and I am joined by Koopa as always. So let's get into the Green Bay Packers on this episode. So coach is going to be Matt LaFleur still. Offensive coordinator is Adam Stenovich. Key players who left this offseason, Aaron Jones obviously went to Minnesota, and guard John Runyon also left as well. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks here for the Packers. Go ahead and start with those, Koopa.
Yeah, so the Packers, first, obviously you have Jordan Love. He finally got a chance to start last year, and he did quite well. So his PFF grade was 83.6, so he was a quarterback 12 out of 38, and he definitely earned it. He showed that he's learned a lot being the backup under Aaron Rodgers, and he came in, he was ready to play. His backup is Sean Clifford, a 2023 fifth rounder from last year, who they ended up keeping, much to the horror of probably a lot of Penn State football watchers. He was not needed last year, so we didn't get to see if that decision would have backfired. But they did go ahead and draft Michael Pratt in the seventh round of this year. The fact that they kept Sean Clifford on as their backup last year, and they only had two quarterbacks on their initial 53-man, makes me think that they're going to want to keep Sean Clifford again this year as their backup, and that Michael Pratt's more of a third quarterback for them. So that might mean that Michael Pratt ends up getting cut and going to the practice squad, or if they feel like that they can't risk him getting waived, he'll be the third quarterback and the guy that's just that in case of emergency break glass kind of quarterback that the NFL allows you to have with them not counting towards the active roster on game day.
Yeah, so if you were listening to the America's Game shows last year when I talked about Sean Clifford, like, no thanks. Never wanted any part of him. Probably one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play college football. Right up there with Trace McSorley, both from Penn State. And I was flabbergasted that they drafted this guy in the fifth round. I think a lot of people had him projected as a UDFA for sure. And he went in the fifth round last year to Green Bay. I will give him props, though. When he played in the preseason last year, I watched I actually watched a couple Green Bay games that were on TV, and he actually played pretty decently, a lot better than I thought he did would. So I'll give him props for that. I still think Michael Pratt is a better player, even though Pratt went in the seventh round. I expect Pratt to beat him out. So we'll see what happens there, but I agree with you. I think they end up keeping three of these guys. I think Love, Clifford, and Pratt, they end up keeping. Brugler's stats on Pratt. So overall, Pratt might not have high-level physical traits to carry an NFL offense, but you don't see panic in his game. He has a natural sense for where to go with the football. He projects as a quality NFL backup with starting upside with the right role. So I think Pratt's better than Clifford. We'll see how that goes during preseason here. Maybe Clifford shows me a little bit more that maybe he's better than Pratt. On to the running backs now. So they brought in Josh Jacobs from the Raiders. His PFF grade last year was only 65, which was 50th of 59 running backs. Wasn't a great year from Jacobs. So we'll see. Now that he got paid, is he going to want to produce again? We'll see how that goes. Marshawn Lloyd, they drafted in the third round this year out of USC. A.J. Dillon, this was a surprising one to me. His PFF grade last year was 75.7, which was 22nd among 59 running backs. A.J. Dillon was a guy I definitely didn't want to start in any of my leagues last year. To see that his PFF grade was this high last year was kind of surprising when I was going through this. So I just wanted to bring that up. Emmanuel Wilson, who played a lot down the stretch and played a little bit in the playoffs there for them last year, he's still there. Ellis Merriweather, a UDFA from last year, he was with the Saints. Then the Packers picked him up on their practice squad. And then Jarvarian Howard, a UDFA out of Alcorn State, as well as here. So they kept three on their initial 53 last year. So I think Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd and AJ Dillon are probably locks, even though Dillon, I think he only signed for like $1.125 million or something like that. So it's not a big deal for him. Emmanuel Wilson, I think they really like as well. So I'm going to go with they keep four running backs this year. I'm going to go Jacobs, Lloyd, Dillon, and Wilson. What about you?
I agree on the big three. I'm unsure about Wilson. I guess he showed enough towards the end of last year where it makes me think that they might decide to keep him on the roster. It could also be the reason that I have a tough time keeping four running backs on this team out. First of all, the three, I think it would be Jacobs, Lloyd, and AJ Dillon. I think those three are basically locks. The reason I have a hard time with Wilson is we'll get to the wide receiver room, but I just don't see how the wide receiver room ends up allowing them to have the flexibility to keep four running backs. I think you start struggling to come up with the roster spots if you keep four running backs, if you keep six wide receivers. And so it's one of those things where, and we were just talking about earlier, keeping three quarterbacks as well. Like we've gone through enough teams now that like all of those are on the high end for the number of players kept by each team. And so it would kind of make cutting down to that initial 53 quite difficult, especially on the defensive side of the ball, if they were to do that.
Mm-hmm. Just some quick highlights here on Marshawn Lloyd as well. Overall, Lloyd doesn't have the profile of a high volume back, but he can spark an NFL offense with his mix of patience, burst, and promise as a pass catcher. His tape gives me flashbacks of a thicker version of Duke Johnson when he was coming out of Miami. So his PFF grade last year was 80.8 at USC. He only had 115 carries, but he had 816 yards, 9 touchdowns on those carries. 13 catches on 18 targets for 232 yards. Zone grade was bad, 67.8, but a gap scheme grade, 93 was his grade. So really good in a gap scheme. 457 yards after contact, which was 144th in the country, and 47 missed tackles, which is tied for 60th. I think Lloyd is kind of going to be one of those. He's going to have to do it on, lesser volume. I think that's going to kind of have to be his thing because he has a lot of fumbles, too. He's going to have to correct the fumbles. So that's one of his main downfall. So if he can correct the fumbles, I think he's a guy who can be efficient on less touches and be a really solid backup behind Josh Jacobs. So I like him. Wide receiver. So yeah, like Koopa mentioned, there's a lot of good receivers here. So Christian Watson, PFF grade last year of 68.2, 59th of 128 among wide receivers here. I think, you know, he got his hamstring issues, it sounds like, corrected. Hopefully, we'll see how that works out this year, but this could be one of Watson's best seasons. Jaden Reed, PFF grade last year of 73.3, 41st of 128 among wide receivers. Really good rookie season from him. Romeo Doubs, PFF grade last year of 73.6, 39th of 128. And then Dontavian Wicks is still there. His PFF grade last year was 77.8, 26th of 128. Bo Melton is still there. Malik Heath, Alex Mago, Samari Torre, a 2022 seventh rounder. Grant Dubois, 2023 seventh rounder. Julian Hicks, a UDFA out of Albany this year. And Dimitri Stanley, a UDFA out of Iowa State. They kept six wide receivers on their initial 53-man roster last year. So let's take a look and see what the six are this year. So I think four of them are locks. That's Watson, Reed, Doubs, Wicks. Those guys are locks. Bo Melton played really good for them last year, too. I would probably say he's close to a lock. The sixth spot is honestly up in the air between any of these guys. I would probably put Malik Heath as the front runner, But I could see Torre, you know, they've used him in the past. He just had some injuries last year. Obviously, they drafted Dubois last year in the seventh round. So I could kind of see any of these guys, but I would probably go with Malik Heath as my guy. Who do you have?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Probably Malik Heath. Bo Melton, I thought he did really well. He had that week 17 game as well that won me and probably a few other people fantasy championships off of the performance that he put up there. And so like him being your wide receiver five, like I think that he could probably be the wide receiver three on a lot of other teams in the NFL. So they just have an absolutely solid wide receiver room. But the real question for fantasy comes down to like, are any of these wide receivers going to break out and be a number one wide receiver, or is it going to be kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs since Tyreek Hill left? So right now the wide receivers, so Jaden Reed is ranked wide receiver 30, Christian Watson wide receiver 40, Romeo Dobbs wide receiver 52, and even Dontavian Wicks, Matt Harmon talks up a ton of, hey, this guy could absolutely be breaking out this year. He really likes him in terms of all the reception perception charting that he's done. And any of these guys could take over as the wide receiver one. They've just had so many problems with injuries, especially Christian Watson, who I think is probably the best wide receiver on this team, where we haven't really seen what they all look like together. We haven't truly seen a version of this team where every single wide receiver is playing at full strength and we know exactly what the target share is going to be when they're all healthy. So that will be an interesting thing to watch for this team, but that can only mean good things for Jordan Love, who's the guy that would have to throw the ball to every single one of them. So if you've got Jordan Love, he's one of those guys that you talk about, like for your fantasy team, having a quarterback that doesn't match any of the other players on your team. Jordan Love is not a bad target because you weren't putting any of the risk on having the wrong Green Bay wide receiver.
All right, so now let's take a look here at the tight ends for the Packers. So they had two rookies last year, Luke Musgrave, 68.1, 22nd of 72. He missed a couple games there that allowed Tucker Kraft to come in and play his backup. His PFF grade last year was 60.4, 34th of 72. These two never really got to play together too much. Especially down the stretch, you know, once Musgrave came back from his injury, Kraft kind of got banged up, so they never really got to play together. But we'll see how that happens there. If they use a lot more two tight end sets this year, kind of hard to believe that they will with the amount of talent in their wide receiver room. But you never know. Might cut into Jaden Reed a little bit. Tyler Davis is there as well. Ben Sims, Joel Wilson, and Messiah Swinson, a UDFA out of Arizona State. So they kept three on their 53 roster last year. I think it's going to be Musgrave, Kraft, and probably Tyler Davis, who's been there for a couple of years. What do you think about the tight ends?
Yeah, I agree. I think Tyler Davis is probably the third tight end, but yeah, Musgrave and Kraft, they're both good tight ends. We just really haven't seen them together, and we also haven't seen them with that slew of wide receivers. So last year, Luke Musgrave did really well until he got hurt, and then Tucker Kraft did really well. You kind of see that reflected in their projections right now, tight end 17 for Musgrave and tight end 23 for Tucker Kraft. And I honestly think that's mostly just because of the unknown of was that split that we saw towards the end of the last year when I think it was Musgrave went down with injury, Kraft it took over, then Kraft went down with injury as Musgrave was coming back, and then Musgrave went down with injury and then like came back but was like kind of hobbled or something like that. And so the split that we saw wasn't a true like, hey, this is what we would see at the beginning of a season. And so we kind of need to watch and see, okay, how do they utilize these tight ends? Are they splitting the snaps 50-50 between them? Are they doing a lot of two tight end sets? Does Jordan Love like one of them over the other? And it's just he was thrown to the other guy because the other one was hurt. Like there could be so many different factors involved there that it's one of the big unknowns that they're both outside of top 12 tight ends at the moment. And so if if you're looking for a potential, hey, I'm going to get a top 12 tight end because I'm going to punt the tight end position, investing in these Green Bay guys isn't the worst idea of, hey, I'm just not going to draft a single tight end. I'll draft Luke Musgrave towards the end or Tucker Kraft towards the end, and then try to pop that guy into my lineup. That could end up working out well for your fantasy team to get good value without investing too much at the position.
I agree with that. Packers offensive line last year. So they were 11th in the league last year. Pretty decent year for them. Left tackle is Rashid Walker. His PFF grade last year was 66.3, 44th of 81. And his backup is Caleb Jones. They drafted Jordan Morgan here in the first round this year. And Royce Newman is his backup. So some highlights on Morgan. Overall, Morgan struggles to anchor mid-slide versus power, but he is a balanced mover who is well-schooled and physical in all phases. Though he can survive at tackle in the NFL, his skill set projects much better inside a guard, similar to a Matthew Bergeron. So that's where the Packers are going to play him. He's going to be their starting left guard for this season. Josh Myers is the center. His PFF grade last year was 63.8, 28th of 36th among centers. Jacob Monk, who they drafted in the fifth round this year, is his backup. Overall, Monk doesn't have elite size and strength, which puts more of a premium on his technique, but his foot quickness and football IQ belong on an NFL roster. He projects best as a backup center who can fill in at guard in a pinch. So good spot for him there. Elgton Jenkins is the right guard. PFF grade last year of 63.8, 28th of 79. And Sean Ryan is the backup. Right tackle is Zach Tom, who did really good for them last year. His PFF grade last year was 79.7, 15th of 81 tackles. And then Andre Dillard, who's kind of bounced around from the Eagles, Titans, former first-round pick. He's going to be the backup here at right tackle. His PFF grade last year was 51, 71st of 81. So not really a spectacular player, but a solid depth piece, I guess. If you kind of look at some of the grades here from the Packers offensive line, like none of them really stood out. Like Zach Tom was the only one that kind of stood out as 15th. But to still be have this offensive line and be 11th last year was pretty good. So hopefully this offensive line can stay healthy and gel some more together and become a good unit and kind of keep that like 11th to 10 spot. I think that would be really good for Jordan Love and his development. Kick returners and punt returners are pretty easy. Go ahead with those ones, Koopa.
Yeah, so Keyshawn Nixon is their Pro Bowl kick returner. He had the most kick returns last year by a huge margin. He returned 30 of them, and the next highest was 22, and the next highest after that was like 19 or something. So he has a lot of kick return experience. He's definitely going to be a kick returner back there this year. If they put a second guy back there, currently the front runner is Jayden Reed. The reason for that is their punt returners last year were both Keyshawn Nixon and Jayden Reed. They swapped back and forth depending on the coach said they do it based on a multitude of factors that included their current field position, how many snaps each of them had already played that game, all sorts of things like that. So potentially Jayden Reed, the fact that they were using him on punt returns, he would be somebody that could potentially be going back there on kick returns as well. And so you have Keyshawn Nixon and Jayden Reed working together. I would tend to lean towards Keyshawn Nixon is the guy that ends up kick returning a lot in terms of being the primary guy. But I could also see that you end up seeing closer to a 50-50 split, and it was just because in the older rule set, it kind of benefited having one kick returner, whereas this coming year, if you have two guys, you might have a little bit of an advantage that you that seeing Jayden Reed, the fact that he was basically even with Keyshawn Nixon on punt returns, that you end up seeing a more even split between the two of them than you would necessarily expect with Nixon being that Pro Bowl kick returner.
And then overall here on the Packers this year, I think Jordan Love is ascending. I don't know if I'd have him in my top 10 for redraft, but he's probably right on the edge there. He was second in the league in touchdown passes last year, only at 32. I kind of am hoping that touchdown passes around the league go up this year, especially for fantasy sake. So I don't know if, you know, he's going to be leading second in the NFL in touchdown passes again this year, but I think he'll still have probably a 30 touchdown season. I don't see why not. So looking forward to see what he can do. Josh Jacobs, I'm really interested to see how he fits in this offense. Can he get back to his contract year in 2022, where he was the best running back in the league almost? Can he get back to that? You know, he kind of got his franchise tag last year with the Raiders, didn't do much, kind of was eh. Hopefully, you know, maybe being with a better team here with the Packers, he can get going. Wide receivers, man. I really am excited about Christian Watson this year, getting his hamstring problems hopefully taken care of now, figured those out. And I think Christian Watson could have one of those monster seasons where you could get him in like the seventh round in your drafts, and he could be a guy who ends up, you know, being a top 20 wide receiver for you this year. Jaden Reed, I think that might be the guy who takes the biggest hit this year, because I think with running the ball a little bit more with Jacobs, and then maybe some two tight end sets where Reed's not going to be out there, it'll probably be Watson and Dobbs will be the outside guys. I think Jaden Reed comes off the field a little bit more, especially it happened a lot down in last year towards the end. Like, he was only playing like 60 to 50% of the snaps towards the end of the year. So we'll see what happens there with Jaden Reed. So I do like the player a lot still. I just am a little hesitant. Dobbs is just Dobbs for me. Like, I think he's just a solid guy. Dontavian Wicks, a lot of people seem to absolutely love him, but I just don't know where he kind of fits in here. Like, it's like he takes an injury, or he just flat out beats Dobbs or whoever in training camp and is better than them. So, and then the tight ends, really like Musgrave, a lot. I think I like him better than Kraft, but I could see Kraft kind of doing, you know, kind of like Gerald Everett, like you were talking about. He's going to be a guy that in your best ball leagues probably ends up being a starter for you a week or two just because he catches a touchdown. So Kraft will be in there, but not somebody like in a lineup league that I want. What are your thoughts here on the Packers?
Yeah, I think that Jordan Love this is one of the few teams. The Chiefs in previous years were also one of them, especially talking about like last year, where you want the quarterback for sure. The running back, you don't think is going to necessarily be a world beater. So like Josh Jacobs, I don't think he's going to be a world beater, but I think he's going to be a solid running back. But the wide receiver situation and the tight end situation is so up in the air here with the Packers that like I have a hard time justifying paying like top end wide receiver prices for any of them. Same with top end tight end prices. Personally, if I had to bet on which wide receiver I think is going to do the best, it would be Christian Watson. When he's been healthy, he's absolutely knocked the ball out of the park, played lights out, whatever phrase you want to use. And he's had some awesome weeks. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so hopefully the studies that they've done to help him figure out like the reason he keeps having chronic hamstring issues, hopefully that gets that under control and he is able to stay healthy for an entire season. And if that is the case, then he's going to be a really, really awesome player. And much like Eric said, I think that he's somebody that I am trying to invest more in. And as a result, I'm kind of a little out on Jaden Reed. A lot of people have Jaden Reed pegged to be the number one wide receiver here in Green Bay. And I frankly just don't think that's going to be the case, and don't think he's going to be the number one wide receiver at the amount that you would want him to be for how people are drafting him right now.
All right, that is going to be it for the Green Bay Packers on this one. We will be back with the Minnesota Vikings.